Welcome to the Playmaker Podcast, a podcast for people who want to sell different. Playmakers wage war against traditional sales and win. Remember, success is just one play away. Welcome, everybody, to the Playmaker Podcast. I'm your host, Gabe Larson. Today, we are going to listen to a great session called Why You Can't Survive Without a Digital Sales Strategy. Now, digital sales is an interesting topic. I wrote an article, if you remember, it was called Is Social Selling Dead? And I just got, I feel like I got murdered for even mentioning the idea of social and dead in the same sentence. It was like I called somebody's baby ugly and the social cultists came out of the woodwork. But look, digital sales is more than just social activities. For example, we know from our data that the average inside sales rep does 93.4 activities a day. That's about 30-ish phone calls a day, 34 emails, 14 and change voicemails, and about 14 social interactions, a couple other things. But look, digital sales, it's not just about activities. And it's not just an inside sales thing. Our data says that field sales reps spend about 45.4% of their time selling remotely, which, if you remember, that's an 89% increase from 2013. So how do you build a digital sales strategy? And once you build it, what should your sellers actually be doing this? To answer that question, I'm going to show a session. We'll be playing this session at the Sales Leadership Summit on April 18th. And we had four, joined to talk about this concept. It was Allie from Pearson Education, Amy from LogMeIn, Katie from Infor, and then Jim from iHeartMedia. So I'll let them introduce themselves, and we'll jump on in.
Guys, thanks for your time today. We're here to talk about why you have to have a digital sales strategy. I'm Jim Donovan, and I'm the EVP of Inside Sales at iHeartMedia. Ladies?
I'm Katie Azuma. I'm the Vice President of Global Business Development and Inside Sales at Infor.
And I'm Amy Appleyard, and I'm the Vice President of Sales at LogMeIn.
I'm Ali Gentile, and I'm Vice President of Sales for Pearson.
Perfect. Let's jump right in. So we know that buying and selling has changed. How has this made you guys adapt how you're, the selling experience overall? How have you adapted?
Well, we heard from Vernon this morning that customers know what good is, and that really got me thinking, even when we were prepping, but then again this morning, that we're all those customers. And so for the selling experience to change, we have to remember that we're buyers too, and that our buyers are expecting what we expect when we go out into the consumer world. So for us to accommodate and adjust and adapt to the modern buyer, we have to really start thinking about them first. So the way we're doing it at Infor is we're thinking about the problem, not the product, the customer, not the deal, and we're really informing our hiring and our enablement and our onboarding with those sort of cultural attributes in mind.
Perfect. Amy, what about you?
Yeah, I think only thing that I would add is definitely customer-centric at LogMeIn. And one of the things that we recognize, which it's, I think most people have heard the expression, customers are coming to you more knowledgeable than ever before. We also provide customers with a lot of detail about our products and how they're using them. So we just want to make sure that all of our sales reps are digitally enabled to really understand what the customer is seeing and how they're using our product so that we can kind of meet them and be sort of smarter than them before they call us. We can actually proactively reach out and say, hey, it looks like you're bumping up against the end of your licenses. Is there something that I can help you with? Or it looks like folks haven't engaged with the tool frequently, in the past. We'd like to help you with this as well. So just making sure that we provide information to our sales reps that we're also giving to our customers and that they're really enabled to make decisions from that.
I love it. So you're using your data to get proactive, almost disguising client service and sales at the same time.
Yep.
Love it. Allie, what about for you? Anything unique that you're doing?
Yeah, we have actually three different buyers that have to interact in order for us to realize the revenue. in our industry. So we've got to influence the decision maker who is a faculty person. We have to work with the store manager who's actually going to buy that product. And then ultimately we have to get to that student buyer. So what we've been doing is looking at what are the different ways that we can influence these people in their physical environments, even when we're not there, because we're primarily in-house, although we do have a small budget to travel. But what we're really looking to do is to influence all three of those people. And so it's a combination of how can we get more creative with what we have via digital means? How can we get more creative in terms of working with our partners in marketing and in product? Because we can't just look at a faculty buyer or a bookstore buyer or a student buyer. We have to look at all three of those parts.
Absolutely. You got to look at the whole life cycle.
Right.
All right, so digital has always been this word that we look at and we think it's very marketing-centric word, all right? But great sales teams, they're close to marketing, all right? How are you getting close to marketing? Amy, can I start with you?
Sure. So when we were kind of preparing for the session, one of the things that I had come across, I tend to dig into data, was a McKinsey paper or some research that had been done, and it just had one headline at the top that I thought was awesome, which is really that just when you have a digital sales strategy, it just means that you are trying to leverage data to make decisions faster. And that's something that we always want to do. So better decisions and made faster. And one of the things that we do in our sales model at LogMeIn, we have freemium stuff, and we also have some account-based marketing going on. We partner really well with marketing to make sure that we're all looking at the same data and that we're actually taking something, for instance, in a freemium model where we're seeing, you know, a handful or a dozen of free users at a company. We're trying to figure out with marketing, hey, who should we proactively reach out to? We'd like to start some sort of a drip campaign so that we can approach this customer and we can say, you have a lot of employees who are using our free product in a way that we think there's an unmet need, and we'd like to help you with that. We also then on the account-based marketing side can leverage data that we have from our existing customer base, launch drip campaigns, nurture campaigns, to make sure that we're calling customers with some relevant content at the appropriate time. And being able to have commonalities within the data with marketing is essential for that. We couldn't do it without them.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Allie, what about for you? How are you getting close to marketing?
Yeah, we have four different marketing groups at Pearson, and three of the four have no idea what sales does. So I have made it my mission to educate the three who don't understand what we're doing. And they provide really valuable services for the company and in terms of how they're trying to create awareness and educate our customers. But they do it on such a high level that they are not quite in tune with what the reality is.
How do you help them?
We've been inviting them to come in. We've been asking them to come and sit with our sellers. We've been showing them how we use InsideSales.com and some of the feature sets. We've asked them to help create scripts for the pre-recorded voicemails so that that way they feel a little more connection to what sales is doing and they're actually getting closer to the real customer and not just the customer on paper or what the data is telling them.
It matters. Absolutely.
It does matter. Yeah.
Katie, we're going to go to you with the next question. How are you adapting? How are you setting up your team with the whole, you know, digital sales strategy? Are you doing anything unique mm-hmm. with your team structure?
I don't know if we're doing anything unique, but what we are doing is a total transformation of our organization's culture and approach. So we first looked at who we're hiring. What's the profile of the person we're hiring? In digital selling, it's not just about picking up the phone and calling. We just heard Gabe say it's not about showing up on someone's doorstep and spending a couple of hours with them. It's about how can you write an effective email and convince somebody and be articulate and succinct in the short period of time that they have. So we're testing for verbal agility, but we're also testing for written agility. Now we're teaching our coaches or our managers how to coach to that because none of us are coaching on what's being written and sent. Or, well, if you are, then I want to talk to you because I want to know how you're doing that. We're also changing the way we onboard to make it a lot more experiential, a lot more practical, a lot of reflective exercises where we're on the phone with customers and we're testing things out, we're sending emails, and we're doing a lot of feedback. We're a very feedback-oriented culture. And then skill development for the reps that we already have, that we haven't onboarded in this new program. So how do we help them make the jump into digital selling when they are used to something very different, picking up the phone, calling the same people, asking for the order? How do we expand their network, expand our footprint, get to know our customers better? So there's a whole transformation that we're doing around that.
So hiring, onboarding, those are great practices. Allie, what about you? Are you doing anything unique there as well?
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with everything Katie just said. One of the things that we do in the hiring process is we ask our candidates to present our technology to us. And they don't know the product. They really don't know anything about it aside from the research that they've done. And the point of that is to see, are you comfortable in that environment? Are you comfortable being uncomfortable? Because oftentimes you're moving fast and you are shifting gears, and we need people who can do that. We want to get at that, right? We want to see their ability to do it.
Yeah, I love that too. Are you comfortable being uncomfortable? Yeah. I think it's a key aspect to sales. If you can't handle rejection, it doesn't matter how the lead is coming into you.
Right.
There's going to be a challenge for you. Yeah. Amy, what about you? Anything to add there about ways that you're evolving your digital sales strategy and structure?
I guess one of the things that's probably been most impactful to us at LogMeIn is the other teams that we've been able to partner with. So
okay.
Making sure that we have really shored up our relationships with our business intelligence team, with our product team, with our engineers. We've actually had a recent project that has delivered fantastic results that we're trying to figure out how to get those into playbooks right now. Mm-hmm. But where we had a sales rep who was partnering with some engineers in Bangalore to figure out how to identify like key opportunities. And it was just put a few folks together and just sparks went off and they figured out how to develop something amazing. So I think making sure that we're always talking about data and that we're getting the sales reps to think very creatively about who they should be partnering with and who they should be getting to know. Probably pretty good to sit with a product manager every now and then or invite
Absolutely.
Them over to see what you're doing in Salesforce or in Playbooks, for instance, is something that we're using now. We definitely have people within our org who have not, they don't know what a seek list is.
Right.
And they need to. And when you start sort of talking to people about it, they actually get really interested. So I think as long as we continue to embrace the digital selling components and then share it with other people in the org, they really do see kind of light bulbs going off and figure
Absolutely.
Out how they can do it as well.
Let's talk about embracing it, because the next question here might be a little bit more controversial, but it's the one I'm most excited about in this panel. Mm-hmm. And Katie, I'm going to start with you on this. Over 50% of the workforce we now know is millennials, and they just absolutely demand a digital environment, which I love. How are we meeting them in the middle on this? What are your secrets to servicing a multi-generational sales force and optimizing it accordingly?
Well, first of all, I'll say we should all be demanding a digital work environment, not just the millennials.
Sure.
And so that's just what we have today. We have to be ready to offer that, not just for our colleagues, but also for ourselves. And I'll say I don't really ascribe to the myth around the millennial. I really believe that we have a bunch of humans that we work with every single day. And as leaders of these organizations, our success is dependent on their success. So we really can't win in our markets. We can't win in the hearts of our customers and the minds of our customers unless we provide a work environment and the respect and trust that goes along with that to our peers and our colleagues in our organization. So I wish we could move faster. We're a big organization with a lot of legacy technology, and I wish we could offer them and ourselves what we all deserve in a work environment, which is really great products, data that we need when we need it, the content that we need when we need it, in a seamless, beautiful environment.
Absolutely, and I think respect. That was such a great word, too. I'm Gen X, but years ago, Gen X was the millennial, right? So, Amy, what about for you?
I think the only thing I'd add is, I think, like you, I kind of bristle with the labels, right? Because it just, hate to draw conclusions, sort of broad conclusions that don't necessarily apply to your specific teams or whatever. So with that said, I do think one of the things that you will often hear in terms of the broad brushstrokes is, oh, millennials aren't great listeners. You have to teach them how to listen. They've got to be, they've got to do a better job listening. Well, digital sales and digital selling is listening. It's just a different way of listening to the customer.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're actually probably, they're very savvy at that. I think anybody who's a non-millennial and who maybe has better listening skills, so the research might say, they are also just as tech savvy. So we're just able to listen I'm also Gen X, in just a different way. But you have to embrace the fact that this is just another way to listen to the customer. And if millennials can do that better and faster immediately, then fantastic. I'll take it. Everybody else can figure out how to do it as well.
Holly.
I'd say, too, one of the things that we're able to do because we're in this inside environment is is really take risks on our people. And so I've moved many millennials into leadership roles that get to influence across our team and get to influence across the company, but also get to work directly with me and, you know, call me out, right? Say, hey, I'm not sure you're thinking about this. Not exactly that I'm wrong, but that I'm not thinking about it the way that they are. And so it's been a great kind of learning experience for me because they're teaching me as much as I'm teaching them about our business and about how we work and about how to be successful. I'd say about 7/8 of my leadership team right now is millennial, and about 9/10 of my entire sales organization is millennial. So if I'm not listening and I'm not embracing them and we're not creating an environment where they can thrive, then to your point, I will be unsuccessful and I will be peaced out.
Right. Are we intimidated, right? Is that the issue? We're intimidated by what they're bringing to the table, and rather than grasping on it and saying, thank you, we're not, I think we talked about this in the prep earlier, is we're not being vulnerable enough that we still have a lot to learn.
Right.
So. All right, so we have two more questions, guys. We're almost done here. We've got you know, this whole theme here. We're seeing a thread of artificial intelligence throughout Accelerate 18. Are you guys activating? Are you guys using AI today? And if so, share with us how. How are you? So, Amy, I'll go to you first if you don't mind.
Oh, all right. So multiple ways. I mean, our partnership clearly with InsideSales.com is helping us get a leg up on that. We also... LogMeIn recently purchased a company, an AI company.
That helps.
Not for the sales side, but ways that we're figuring out how to use it internally to provide our, you know, chat reps with quicker information that they need. Our solutions consultants get very tired of answering the same questions over and over and over for our sales team. So we're trying to figure out how to use some of this to help provide them more information. And then the connections that we've made with some of our machine learning teams that over in Bangalore and the engineers there has been very helpful for us to kind of lay it over our data and then figure out where we think there could be some pockets of success. Now we just need to figure out how to serve it up to sales in a less clunky way than what we're doing now, and that's where playbooks will help.
I was going to say, Dave's screaming, playbooks. Yes. Katie, what about for you?
Yeah, of course, playbooks is core to our strategy to leverage AI, at least initially, and then we'll look to fill other gaps as time goes on. And we are... approaching, I guess, the ocean of AI and machine learning slowly in terms of how we arm our sales organization, because we want to figure out where we need it the most. So I'll say playbooks has been a game changer for us to help us sort of connect with our buyers at the right place at the right time. And then the other thing I'd say is around the data that we're getting out of playbooks is we're really using that as a coaching moment and option and opportunity for our managers instead of a stick, and how we measure people. So we're really using the data that comes out of it to help people get better.
Yeah, it goes back to that training theme, right? Throughout all of these topics, training is a key element. Mm-hmm. So, Allie, what about for you? Is AI being embraced?
Right. We are a little bit behind on this front. And in fact, with my team, we just rolled out InsideSales.com really for our fall selling season. So we're in our second selling season right now with the tool. We're not on playbooks, but I took a ton of notes while I was listening to...
We're not either. I want it.
Right. Listening to the earlier presentations, thinking we have to do more with this. And the notion that we have to move fast and we have to take risks is something that has really resonated with me and with my leadership team. And this is what prompted us to move into inside sales. And as a company, we're in this complete transformation right now internally around our systems, around how we capture data, and around how we share data. So we've got to get that part figured out before we can take greater advantage of it. But the recognition that we can take greater advantage of it and that we need to and that it can give us these tremendous insights and make us more productive is definitely there. And then on an aside, as a content provider for academic purposes, we have an entire product suite that's full of AI type materials that my sellers will sell, and I think will probably be the best at it because they embrace that kind of way of learning and that kind of experience.
Yeah, it's data driven. Right. I love it. So we have bullish sort of we're buying company solutions, and then we've got more deliberate strategic visions. I think that's the right way to go about it. All right, so last question here, right? We've got leaders in the audience right now that are in the midst of building out their digital sales teams right now. We have an opportunity to give them sort of, you know, best tip. If we could say things to watch out for, what would it be from each of us? Allie, I'm going to start with you and work this way.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd say watch out for it, but what I would say is be deliberate in your strategy, right? Really understand what it is you need to accomplish and why you want to accomplish that, and then how you will go about accomplishing it. And that applies across everyone that you might need to work with within your organization and then outside of it to see who are these partners that can help me get to that strategy and then remaining deliberate, right? So if you start to veer from it,
they snap you back.
Right, you've got to just come right back to it. And if there are things that are in your way that cause you to veer, you've got to eliminate those things. And I think it was Brandy who said, "We'll help. You can have one meltdown, and then we'll help you exit."
Love, love that.
And you know, I'm really starting to embrace that notion too, because I can't help you feel better every time you feel bad. I need you to accomplish something. And as leaders, we have to help people understand if they aren't feeling good about where they are, it doesn't mean they're bad or wrong. There's a better place for them to be. So
nicely said.
Yeah,
Amy.
I think completely agree with all that and being very deliberate and then holding yourself accountable to that. So right. I think for me, a couple things. One is just make sure that you're sharing the journey, right? If this is something that you're entering into on your own for the first time, let your teams know and they will come along with you. So I loved what Werner shared this morning where he talked about bringing in a guy from eBay to help them figure out how to do stuff. Like acknowledge that there might be things that you don't know, that you want to get going fast. And bring in experts where you need them. And I think chances are your team's going to come along with you. And then the second thing would just be to make sure that you are really shoring up relationships with anybody who is sitting on piles of data, because you need it and you will want to use it. And that could be internal or external, right? So clearly we have great partnership with InsideSales.com. Everybody in the room here does. But there are also things like the data scientists. Probably you've got, if not data scientists, you might have just somebody who's wicked smart with a spreadsheet, right? Like find those people and make sure that you are, and Brandy even mentioned this morning, I love what Caesars has done with taking the data science teams to then figure out how to sell smarter. And or engineers or product or anybody who's got data that you're going to need access to, take them out to lunch, take them out for a beer, get to know them.
Make them your friend.
They will be your friend.
Very smart.
Everybody can help you sell.
Very smart. Katie?
Well, first of all, I love that the woman from Boston just dropped a wicked smart into her answer.
It had to happen.
Had to happen. If you're just starting, what I would say is, first of all, figure out what a digital buying experience is for you. And more importantly, figure out what a digital buying experience is for your customers. Figure out what they want, figure out what they need, and then go and deliver that in the way that creates the most revenue for you. That's where you need to start.
I like that. If I could offer too, I think from all the conversations we've had and the threads that we've been talking about, I see two main things. One is EQ or emotional intelligence. I think paying attention to at the hiring and the onboarding stage, the mental state, and are we giving them enough training? Are we giving them enough support? I think that's really critical when you're starting a digital sales team. And then that training aspect again. We all found the same vein that training is such an easy thing to slide under the carpet. We don't all invest a ton in training. I'm fortunate to have a trainer, and at iHeartMedia, in my company, I'm the only sales division that actually has a trainer on staff. I think it's sort of a paramount opportunity for all of us. So, guys, thank you so much for your time today. I think this has been really helpful, and everybody, enjoy your lunch. Have a wonderful time at Accelerate.
Boom, what a fantastic session. Thank you to Jim, Ali, Amy, and Katie. Now remember, everybody, this session and others will be available at www.salesleadershipconference.com. One more time, salesleadershipconference.com. 30 plus speakers, all VP and above. It is dynamic. It is dynamite content, all about how people are growing their business. So please do check it out. It is a free online virtual event. With that, remember, you're always just one play away.